You're listening to Modest Joint. I am Michael Modest, and I have the will to fight. This week, I'm going to start off by giving you my email info and begging for you to hit me up as a friend on Facebook. First of all, my email, michael.modest@gmail.com. Also, you can hit me up on MySpace at myspace.com/Michael Modest. Now, as I said, I just started up on Facebook, but, you know, I have no idea what I'm doing there, so I'm completely kind of lost. So hit me up and add me as a friend and point me in the right direction in that damn cyber place. So check it out, man. I'm going to start off the show by talking about Ray the Crippler Stevens, and I'm going to call this segment Fan-Fucking-Tastic Classic. Now, I got a match. I'm going to be putting it on my blog. It's Ray the Crippler Stevens versus Al Fredericks. It's a black and white match, but you got to check it out. It's really incredible how much heat is in the match. You listen to the fans. It's great. Stevens does a great promo at the end, and I'm going to be playing that for you in a moment. But one of the things I thought was great about Ray the Crippler Stevens, first of all, he was a San Francisco Bay Area legend, man. All over the West Coast, nationally, Ray Stevens was known. And it always shocks me when you talk about wrestling legends and you know, people that were really ahead of their time, that Ray Stevens isn't really mentioned that often. And he goes back, I mean, to, like I said, the days of black and white television. Roy Shire's promotion here in the Bay Area, Channel 2, and you know, all over this country. It kills me because I hear some guys around here that maybe wrestled for APW back, you know, 15, 20 years ago, and maybe wrestled 15 times their whole career, and now they claim they're all broken up and this and that, and they go around claiming that they are a Bay Area legend, and it slays me, really, because I don't consider myself a Bay Area legend, and I am, you know, fairly well known in California, but certainly not to legendary status. Ray Stevens had a double-fisting comeback that I really liked. I see a lot of wrestlers today, and they punch with just a right. That's all they know how to do. And that's one of those things I think to myself, you know, if you're going to use punches and you're going to throw shots in a match, why don't you take a little boxing? Why don't you learn what a combination is and learn how to jab with that left and follow up with a nice right or go southpaw on somebody? You know, learn how to stand when you're throwing a punch, you know. And these were things that Ray the Crippler was very good at. His punches were lightning fast. He'd go from the body to the head and back to the body. He was a real honest-to-God brawler and a guy that lived that pro wrestling lifestyle to the hilt, man. You know, big rider of Harley-Davidson bikes and lived a very fast lifestyle. And was an incredible talent in the ring. You got to watch his reaction in this match. The first punch that Al Fredericks throws and hits him with, he has this look of disbelief and pain and starts complaining to the referee in a very realistic way. And I also want to point out that Ray Stevens takes a turnbuckle shot that you'll notice I do use. I stole it from him. And a lot of my mannerisms, a lot of the things that I do in the ring, I have to thank to Ray the Crippler Stevens. And I did kind of emulate myself after him. Roland Alexander and Rick Thompson saw some similarities in me and Ray the Crippler Stevens, our mannerisms and things that we did in the ring, just the way we walked and the way we talked. And so that's I think that's pretty cool to kind of be fashioned after him. And now with YouTube, I can give him a little bit of credit and, you know, just point that out to the wrestling world that I kind of think he's one of those legends that sometimes not thought of enough. So here's the promo, and let me see if I can get this damn thing queued up. And I'm hoping that it's going to be loud enough for you guys. But here goes.
Fredericks is unable to get a fall. Well, Ray,
Men like Ray the Crippler Stevens. I hope that came out because it was really a good promo. If you didn't hear it and you want to check it out, man, go to my blogs. I will be putting that up on my MySpace. Next, I've got something kind of weird. I don't even know what the hell you'd call it. I wrote it when I was drunk, so just hear me out. Hi, I'm Bill, and I'm here to bring you Fat Chicks with Magnets. These are the fat chicks. These are the magnets. And I'm going to teach you about the medical benefits of magnets. They do everything from weight loss to healing cuts and wounds to repairing broken ligaments, broken bones, headaches, paralysis. If you've lost an appendage, put magnets on it. It'll take care of the problem. Order Fat Chicks with Magnets. While none of these claims can be substantiated by science or medical fact, we do know that ancient cultures in China used them. So that's good enough for us. Who can deny the wisdom of ancient cultures, like the Mugabe tribe and their voodoo dolls, or the Aztecs with their sacrifices, now the Chinese with magnet therapy? Some people say magnets don't stick to people. I say, of course they don't, silly bastard. The iron in the human body is dispersed throughout the entire body, and it's a very small amount. The magnet only catches iron floating by in your blood, holds it there momentarily, then releases it back into your bloodstream. The medical benefits of slowing iron migration through the body with magnets is obvious. You can see I am living proof of the benefits of magnets. Divorced? Hey, try a magnet on top of your head. If you have asthma, put magnets in your mouth. Are you dumb or gullible? Put magnets up your ass. And you're cured. It's that easy. Order now and pay only $199.99 for 10 surgical-grade magnets. And you'll get the magnet carrying case made out of 100% Parkatol plastic, the same plastic used in the nose cone of the space shuttle. It's indestructible. If you're satisfied with your magnets, we have more shit to sell you, such as the famous Mugabe voodoo dolls, X-ray glasses, sea monkeys, and the Jerry Falwell bestseller, Miracle in a Cup. Just add water to the salt extracted from actual tears of Jesus Christ and watch the miracles explode. For a list of all of our great products, please email us at www.productsthatdontfuckingwork.com. Get your fat chicks magnets today. Sorry it wasn't the best commercial, folks, but, you know, it is what it is. I wanted to talk real quick about sea monkeys real quick because that kind of, you know, touches a real personal, you know, spot with me. Every time I see the sea monkeys ads, you don't see them as often anymore, but used to be on comic books, they'd advertise these fucking sea monkeys. And it was like a whole happy family of little sea monkeys. There was a dad sea monkey, and he was smoking a pipe. He had glasses. Looked like he had just gotten off a, you know, a hard day's work. And there were little kids sea monkeys playing a board game at his feet. And there was a wife sea monkey bringing him a drink. And it was really comfy, kind of little family. And I thought to myself, you know, I was, I don't know, 4 or 5. And I thought to myself, you know, it'd be really nice to have a little family like that and just have them live in my fishbowl. That would be great. And so I sent away for sea monkeys, and I was heavily disappointed to find out it was just brine shrimp. And three of the, you know, little things came alive. There was probably 10 in the whole packet, and most of them were just dead as hell and dehydrated and crushed. But a couple of them came alive and floated around for, I don't know, 10 minutes before they died. The whole family was slaughtered in my fish tank, and it left me with a very guilty conscience. So I just wanted to share that little sea monkey story. But, you know, the deal with the fat chicks with the magnets, man, that was my number one last week. I have my top 10 things I just fucking love. And I actually was hit up by these fat chicks, and they were trying to, you know, sell me these magnet products that did everything, lose weight and everything. And I started thinking about the fact that these chicks didn't know their fucking gimmick. You know, God gave them a gimmick. Now, if they were selling me a cookbook and telling me, no, this shit's good, you know, for $4.99, you can have this book, and you'll be making some fucking good food, man. Trust us. We know. We know about eating food. Bacon, gravy, you know, all that good shit. Biscuits. Oh, we can do it. Then I would have bought what they were selling. But, you know, it kind of compares to wrestling sometimes. I always wished I could have been like Hulk Hogan, you know, but unfortunately I wasn't 6'8", and I didn't weigh 320 pounds. I was balding like him, so, you know, on that level we matched. But in every other way, I failed to meet up to those standards that would allow me to work a muscle man-type gimmick. And I see guys all the time, you know, guys that they'd have a rocker gimmick, but they're fat, you know, and they're trying to pass themselves off as a certain type of gimmick or character that they're just not fit for. One of the funniest ones was I had one time these two guys from the Richmond area. They were both black guys. One was tall and skinny. The other one was, you know, I don't know, 6'2". He wasn't super tall, but he was like 6'2" and 600 pounds. And the tall skinny guy was like 6'7". And maybe 220 pounds. And they wanted to call themselves the Lost Boys because they really liked that movie. You know, the one with Kiefer Sutherland, and he's a vampire. And the vampires are all kind of good-looking dudes. And yet these two odd-looking dudes kind of look like a Laurel and Hardy kind of thing. They come in and they want to call themselves the Lost Boys and be like rocker vampires. And they were black. It didn't work for their gimmick. So think about that before you pick a gimmick, man. We're not all made to be rockers, Hulksters, or Mr. Wonderfuls. Know your role, as The Rock would say. So there's another subject I just wanted to touch on. And here's another example of a guy that, you know, I thought he always knew his gimmick pretty well. And for urban wrestling, he wrestled as the Deacon. And this guy threw up all the time in the ring. And, you know, everywhere he went, he was kind of like a little bit of a joke because he just never stopped throwing up. And it was bizarre. He'd wrestle for a minute, you know, and then start heaving. And it wasn't necessarily cardio. It was bizarre. One time he was throwing up in the ring after being in there about a minute. This is when he was working for XPW, and I watched him pull his suspenders away from his chest and vomit down into his tights. And it was really disturbing to think, you know, what's worse, just throwing up in a wrestling match because you're out of shape or you're too nervous, or throwing up down in trunks? I think the latter of the two. But this guy happened to actually be a very good rapper and musician type, So, you know, here's a guy that wanted to be a pro wrestler, but it just wasn't in the cards for him. He did other things better. He's good at working with kids and stuff like that and doing church stuff. That's what he was good at. Next, I'm going to talk about my top 10. This started as the top 10 reasons my girlfriend doesn't give a shit. We were arguing about something. I don't remember. And she said, "You don't give a shit." And she said, "I'm not going to give a shit." Something to that effect. And so I thought, well, hey, fuck it. That's a great top 10. Why don't we start? And so she gave me a few. I gave her a few. And these were the top 10 reasons that we decided it's best just not to give a shit. Number 10, if you give a shit, even just one, people will always want more. Eventually, you will give out so many shits, you'll have none left for yourself. Number 9 reason, I don't give a shit. It's way easier to just give flowers, you know, or a chia pet or underwear. Giving shit is just not very convenient. Number 8 reason, I don't give a shit. Because if you give a shit, it makes a lousy gift. People don't like it. They don't like the shit you gave them. Well, they'll bring it right back to you. Number 7 reason I don't give a shit. Because some people are allergic to peanuts. Number 6 reason I don't give a shit. This is kind of like a tie thing. So 6A, I guess, would be shit is difficult to wrap. That's why I don't give a shit. And B would be giving a shit in the wrestling biz will usually get you fired. Number 5 reason I don't give a shit. Sometimes you get all fired up with a group of people who all claim to give a shit, and then they back out on it, like once you've given a shit publicly, and now you're the only one who gave a shit, and you're holding the bag. Looking kind of stupid with a big steaming pile of shit. Number 4 reason I don't give a shit. No one can guarantee that if you do give a shit, it will be solid. No one likes it when you give them runny shit. Number 3 reason I don't give a shit. I love strippers. Now what the fuck? I'm sorry, that has nothing to do with this top 10 at all. Hold on, I gotta think of something else. What the fuck was I doing? I just wrote, I love strippers. I don't know what that means. All right, okay, let's try number 3 again. So let's say this Christmas, you do give a shit. Maybe even you give 5 or 6 shits. How do you decide who gets what shit? You know what I'm saying? All right. Number 2 reason I don't give a shit, because when you give a shit, people often mistake it for meatloaf or fruitcake. And the number 1 reason that my girlfriend and I don't give a shit, it doesn't matter if you do give a shit or not, in the end, we all get shit on. You've been listening to Modest Joint. I am Michael Modest, and I have the will to fight. And as it always has been, as it is today, wrestling is hardcore.